Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyfoot Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Fellow de Borgheses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Blackhead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com.
Bangkok Biz.
I just arrived in Bali about three days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Oh, yeah.
It's just gorgeous Florida weather. That's why they're so happy.
It is. It's dry thanks to the tropical thing out in the Atlantic, but bringing us some dry weather. So that's good. Anyway, I was listening to the intro. I thought I got cut off or something. I was waiting. Oh. It seemed like an hour. You mentioned the delay before on the intro when it says, hey, you're now on the air. And it's just like,
you can watch it 8 seconds, and you're just sort of going, okay, come on.
That was 8 seconds?
Yeah, eight seconds. I was watching the timer. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was thinking I was hearing, but it seemed like it was more like a half an hour or something. I thought the show was done.
Ran in and, shaved and got ready for bed in the time too. It is. I don't know why it's doing that. But there's that long delay right there. So. At the beginning.
And I listened to the local version, the one I have on that I did, and there's no delay in the beginning up. So.
Maybe something Blog Talk Radio that or Skype combo there that once it goes live, it I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
It's pushing our signal out, worldwide, and it takes a while, and it makes sure, it's got to go to space or whatever, bounce off.
Yeah, bounce around. And
then it comes back, and then they go, oh, okay, now we'll play it.
Yeah, be sure it can't trace us and find out who we are and where we live. And so it takes a while to bounce around like that. And so, I don't know, but it's a long wait in there at the beginning. Hi, welcome to All About Wine.
Oh, wrong. That's right. Hello.
We've had that intro problem, for off and on for a while, but it just seems like it's getting longer for some reason.
It is.
I don't know. I guess if you turn into it and listen to it on archives or something, I guess you won't even notice that there's a gap there. You know, just,
yeah,
it might be just you and I that notice it. So,
yeah,
so if it is just you and I, then sorry, everyone. We're just... no guests tonight. I apologize. Reason there's no guests, because I have been extremely busy at the winery. We have ourselves a big event coming up later, or actually, I shouldn't say later this week, the day after tomorrow, Saturday, Woofstock. Mike will give you all the details and everything toward the end of the show. But I have been spending days and hours and long days and long hours getting everything ready and getting the yard ready and all the facilities and all that. And so I just haven't been online getting a hold of guests, but that doesn't mean that we have forgotten guests. We will be getting guests back on. And 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, 1, 2, 3, today's the 7th, 3 weeks, I'm not going to be on the show the 28th. I don't know if Mike will run the best of, or if he'll do a show himself or whatever, but the 28th, we're looking at me not being here because I have a tasting I'm going to, actually, a wine tasting. So I'm looking forward to that. And a couple of things here. Joy's Joy of Wine. I just, you know, just a plug for her for no particular reason, but I was just looking through some notes here. And she's been a guest with us 3 or 4 times. None of us can figure out how many for sure. But Joy's Joy of Wine, if you haven't subscribed to that, it's a blog. If you haven't subscribed to it, highly recommend it. Always interesting, always fun. And if you happen to not subscribe to it, I plagiarize it enough. You can probably keep up with it that way. So Joy's Joy of Wine, J-O-Y-S-J-O-Y-W-I-N-E, Joy's Joy of Wine. So check it out. It's a blog. Another blog I want to recommend too, Irene King. Irene's been a guest with us a couple of times also. Her blog is, she's got a website, www.vegaswino. That's VEGASWINEAUX, wino, .com. Like I say, she's a couple of times. She follows the show. So, hi, Irene. And she, last time we talked to her, she was talking about clay and cement pots and aging in pots. And she was going to follow up and do some stuff, checking that out and everything. So we will be contacting her and thinking about that in a future date. But highly recommend those two people for your listening pleasure or your reading pleasure. They do a great job and always very interesting. So, no one sent me any emails last week, so I guess no one was off on May Day. Remember, we were talking about May Day, and we said that it was a holiday, and so I said, anyone that has May Day off, please email me or send me a note or do something. No one did, so I would venture to guess that no one has off May Day as a holiday. So, oh well. Now,
they were probably working. They're probably working.
That's right. Working. No, I'm not off. I'm working. But, you know, caught up on some of that stuff. Just got some stuff to fill you in tonight. Just some things to talk about. A few things to throw some information out at you. Again, as always, trying to keep you up to date and informed and entertained. Let's see. Again, I'm going to have to. I don't know if I talked about minerality. Did I talk about that a couple of weeks ago? I think maybe I did. I can't remember now.
I have a note on here somewhere. I remember.
Did I talk about minerality? I think I did. I talked about minerality in wine and how they say that it's really not there. Now they're saying that it is. Yes. Dr. Wendy Parr, I remember that. So minerality, yes, it is. It is in wine. So those of you who are hearing the rumors and the the naysayers that there is no minerality in wine, then yes, there is. There is something that they're training dogs to do now, which I thought this was really sort of really good. We've talked about phylloxera. You know what phylloxera is. If you don't, a quick background. Phylloxera is a disease, a mite that gets into grapevines. It has caused many grapevines to die. It has caused a great loss of grapevines in France. It feeds on the roots. It's a disease, actually. It feeds on the roots of the vines, and it really can kill a whole vineyard. It's serious once it gets in. American rootstock is used pretty much all around the world because American rootstock is resistant to phylloxera. And so there's like five or six main rootstocks that are used. They replanted Napa Valley, I guess it's been about 10 years ago now, 15 years ago, with a new rootstock because the old one had, or the one they were using, it was getting phylloxera. But phylloxera, it's a vine disease. It's something that will kill the vines. There's not much you can do about it. They are now training dogs to sniff out phylloxera. The University of Melbourne, Australia, is finding that dogs can smell and detect phylloxera in grapevines. It is, they said that the life cycle of phylloxera is, the dogs can detect it. Because phylloxera is on the roots inside the soil, they're trying to see how deep the phylloxera can be so that the dogs can detect it. It's being done in South Australia, which is actually where Melbourne is, and they're currently phylloxera free down there. And so they would, you know, obviously not keep it that way. So a small area in Yarrow Valley is their research area, and they're very cautious about creating problems and all. So the dogs are out there now. They have been trained to sniff out phylloxera. Dogs can be trained to sniff out just about anything. I mean, you know, they have dogs that can sniff out cancer and all sorts of different stuff. So now they are training to sniff out phylloxera, which is great. I think that's fantastic. It's an interesting thing for the dogs to be doing. So, yay, another tool against phylloxera. Rising temperatures has hastened the Napa Valley's bud break. It was 80 degrees there the 1st of April, which caused a early bud break, which is a little concern for them, but they think that it's going to be all right if they can continue with the water woes that is facing the Napa. And, well, actually all of California has become an issue, although the latest things are showing that it does not affect farming. So the water issue will affect the people, but the farming is not as cut back. And they're saying that grapevines can survive. They are tolerant, but drought tolerant does not mean that they are they're not invincible. Grapevines, a four-year drought may be close to catching up to California's winemakers because the drought has left some vineyards with a fraction of their usual water allotment. And they're saying that some of the projections around 20% of normal in certain areas. Shipments of wine below $7 per bottle has fallen by 2-3%, whereas more expensive wines have shown double-digit growth. And they're saying the American consumers trending the bar toward buying $10 and above. And the challenge is that the ones that are below $10 are not being bought this year. And they're not sure if it is because of the quality or because of lowering the amount of wines that are produced in that price range. And there's also some thought that it is because the wines that were in the $7, $8, $9 range, because of the scarcity of water and because of the cost of water to keep it irrigated and everything, some of those prices are jumping up a little bit, and just enough to put it into a new price range, if you will. Same stuff, a different price range. Technology is being worked on continuously, though, as is everything, to try to get grapes more drought resistant, and so that they can continue on producing the cheaper wines, which is basically the mainstay of most people's purchasing power. And speaking of people's purchasing power, box wines. Nothing wrong with box wines. Box wines are basically the same price range as most people get. The sales figures have indicated that box wines are becoming increasingly popular. It's 50 years since the first box wine was created. 50 years. Can you imagine? I never realized until I saw this earlier that it was 50 years. It was produced by was created by an Australian producer, Angove. And box brands are making millions. Category now represents almost 1 in 5 liters of wine sold in the United States. 1 in 5 liters. That's phenomenal. The category has doubled its share in the U.S. market since 2009. And by 2014, box wine sales represent 7% of all wine by value and 17.5% of all wine sold by volume. The three-year box has been experiencing double-digit growth in recent years. It says it's purchased by mainly the over 55s with low income. Not me. I'm not buying it. Although, you know, really nothing wrong with box wines. I really shouldn't criticize it because there's the same stuff. You go out and you buy yourself a $7 bottle of wine, you're getting a better deal on the box wines. It's basically the same stuff. In 2014, the figure increased to 16 brands, with another 5 nearing the million-dollar mark. In 2010, there was only 2 brands that were over $1 million, enjoyed sales over $1 million. They give 4 reasons why the 5% buy box wines, and 5% of the people. Convenience, obviously, and the portability. You can take it anywhere and don't have to worry about breakage and nor corkscrews needed or anything. Freshness, open it up and it will stay fresh as long, much longer than a bottle, and it will continue to stay fresh until you finish it, basically. The price, and this is, I think, the big selling point for most people. 3-liter box wine sell for $16 to $20. A few of them jump up to $24, but that's $4 to $5 a bottle, which is a lot cheaper than the $9.50, which is the average price of a $7.50 bottle that's being bought. And environment. Obviously, a box of 3-liter wine is a lot less impact on the environment than 3 bottles or 4 bottles of wine would be. So a lot of reasons why people are buying box wine besides the cost. All the other reasons are out there, and it's growing. It's growing by leaps and bounds. So box wines, actually buy the box wine, put it in the back room when guests come over, pour it into another bottle, and they will not know the difference. I can pretty much guarantee you that. I would never do that for you if you came over, but you know, you can do that. There's something that caught my eye too. Music. Can that affect taste? if you listen to certain music, will that affect the way that the wine, how the wine tastes? And basically, the, well, why is this not coming up like it's supposed to? I don't want to see the whole story on that. Basically, the article goes on, and it's a very long article. It's out of the Wall Street Journal, but most Wall Street Journal articles tend to be long. And it just, it was someone who just went out and did an unscientific study of it. And she said, basically, it probably does. Certain wines will taste different depending on if you like the music that's on or if you don't like the music that's on. So, you know, you would guess that it would, but I think that would almost apply to everything, not just to wine. No matter what you are doing or drinking or, you know, participating in, music in the background is going to affect your perception of what you're doing. So, yeah, I'm sure it works with wine also. Let's see, where is California is saying now that water use will never be the same. It's affecting others. Let me go into this a little bit deeper here because I found this to be interesting concerning the, they're talking about the wine grapes and stuff like that a little bit. Message that the state officials are delivering, and Jerry Brown, the governor, ordered mandatory cutbacks in water use. And they're saying that the crisis is going to continue, and it's going to be something that people are going to have to get used to, which is going to also affect more than just the consumer or the person out there, the people. It's going to start affecting everything. And it's not something that they're going to say, okay, we're going to go back to normal now. It's something that they're going to have to start looking at in the long term. And they said, you know, if you the state can fine water agencies up to $10,000 a day for not taking steps to reduce usage, which obviously can be passed on the consumer. Outdoor irrigation and pools count for 50 to 75% of urban water use. They are targeting that to cut it back. They said about the only person that should be walking on your lawn is the person mowing it. They shouldn't have a lot of traffic because it could end up killing it. You want to keep the water usage down. Just a lot of stuff. It's just, it is getting to the point. It's on the Sacramento Bee, as a matter of fact, if you want to follow up on this. Sacramento Bee back on April 9th. Water and drought. You can just look in that thing and state regulators. But goes into a lot more detail how water is going to be affected in the long term in California for people and for farming and all that other stuff. So we may be hearing and seeing stuff. And again, California furnishes grapes and juice for the whole country. So it could have repercussions everywhere. It's something we'll have to wait and see. Let's see, there's thank you. I needed that.
Play something here. Only 12 seconds.
Yeah. Thanks. There we go. I had this one I pulled up here, and I'd already talked about it, so I passed over it, and I forgot to put it in a file, red file. So, Paso Robles. If you haven't been to Paso Robles, I highly, highly recommend a trip there. It is between San Francisco and Los Angeles. It is on Highway 101, which is just inland from Highway 1. You can take Highway 1 down, which is a beautiful, beautiful drive in California if you've never been on it. You can take Highway 1 down. and cut across Paso Robles, or you can take 101 and take you right down into the heart of Paso Robles. Paso Robles has exploded. It often takes a back seat to a lot of other known areas, Napa Valley and things like that. But Paso Robles is, the wineries are making a big impression on everybody. For the Paso Robles, wineries have been named 101 Best Wineries in America, part of the 101 Best Wineries in America. Zimado's from Peachy Canyon Winery has won all sorts of accolades, as have Tablas Creek Vineyard and Saxon Vineyards, all placed in the top 50. While Capron Winery of Paso Robles was on the list at 69. And there's lots of other. I mean, you know, when you start looking at 101 wineries and you start throwing, you know, five or six of them from one region, that is a substantial amount. And they are still reasonably priced. Last time I was out in Paso Robles was, about 7 years ago now. I was in Paso Robles. And I was so impressed with the wines and so impressed with the wineries and so impressed with the little small ones. I mean, you can take the main drags down through it and all that, and you can find big wineries, but pull off and pull back. And I mean, there's hills, and as you drive around the hills, there's literally dozens of wineries in the area. And I had a fantastic, absolutely fantastic Paso Robles Barbera there, which astonished me. I was thinking it might not be able to get a good flavor because of some of the warmth in there, because Paso Robles can get very warm, but a phenomenal Barbera from there. And, you know, shame on me, but I can't remember the winery I had of that. I visited so many. But Paso Robles, they're starting to make a big impression on people. They're starting to make a big impression on the critics. They're starting to make a big impression on those who are buying wine. So if you've not been to Paso Robles, that's something that you definitely have to put on your agenda for our future trip. And Concha y Toro winery, that's Chilean. They have been, everybody knows them. It's just one of those wineries that everybody's aware of. Santiago, Chile. They're listed on the New York Stock Exchange as VCO. And 2014 was one of the best years they have ever had. The annual sales, U.S. sales, was $118 million. And the company itself broke through the billion, that's with a B, folks, billion-dollar mark for the first time. They're the world's fourth largest company in sales volume and second largest in terms of surface vineyards. They have a presence in 145 countries. They registered record sales of 33.2 million cases in 2014 and a growth of 22.6% over the previous year. Mind-boggling in the amount of sales. And yeah, they're okay wines. There's, you know, you can find some Concha y Toro wines that are really, really good. A lot of their, you know, the bottled wines and stuff like that, their less expensive ones are what, you know, most people buy, and it's available just about everywhere. The flagship company brand, Casillero del Diablo, had a growth of 14.4% in sales in excess of 4.4 million cases. They are available in 140 markets worldwide. The overseas subsidiaries of Concha y Toro is 66.6% of the company sales. Consolidated sales in the United States and Canada totaled almost $200 million. The U.S. sales of bottled wine from Fetzer Vineyards totaled $1.9 million last year. And so Concha y Toro, 5.9 million cases. It's just mind-boggling the reach that they have, what they're able to do. They have vineyards planted. It says well, a little bit about them. I don't know if you're familiar, a little background, but they were founded in 1883, and they are Latin America's leading producer and occupies a position among the world's most important wine companies, currently exporting to 145 countries. It owns around 10,700 hectares of prime vineyards in Chile, Argentina, and the United States. Concentoro Group comprises a comprehensive portfolio of successful brands from the top of the range Don Melcher and Amaviva wines to the flagship Casarillo di Diablo line. In addition to the Trevinto Estate in Argentina and Fetzer, they own Fetzer and Bontero from California. The company has 3,435 employees and is headquartered in Santiago, Chile. Wow. I didn't know Fetzner was one of their brands. I did not know that. But enormous amount of wines that they're putting out in, around the world. The we've talked about climate change off and on here. This is something I want to hit on, how climate change is starting to affect Argentina. We hear about it in different areas and all that, but climate change is threatening Argentina's wine industry. The Andean region, where the wine is mainly produced, is said to become one of the most affected by global warming, according to recent studies and reports. The region, which also includes Mendoza, San Juan, La Rioja, Catamarca, Salta, and Jujuy, is on track to experience higher temperatures, more frequent and longer heat waves and dry periods, less rain, and changes to the flows of the river. It's not something, not only the region of the country that is warm the most, but it's also one of the regions of the world that will heat up the most in the future. Temperatures have risen a half a degree Celsius in the region from 1960 to 2010, and they expect that to go anywhere from 3.5 to 7 degrees Celsius in the long term, which is substantial. Wow. The climate change means a challenge for wine producers, which are already going through a harsh period. Wine sales dropped 7.3% in Argentina last year. Exports fell by 17%, and the domestic market decreased by 4.15%. It is starting to take its toll on Argentina, the climate. The rest of the country is seeing slight increases, but not like that area. Patagonia, which has seen its temperature increase 1 degree Celsius due to a large reduction of the ozone, showers are more frequent throughout the country and stuff like that. So they said the effect is only going to worsen. Temperatures are set to increase nationwide in Argentina, which will affect grape growing and production and all sorts of stuff. So Argentina, Argentina wines are great. Everyone has always talked about Argentine wines and how enjoyable they are. And, you know, if it continues on like this, it could be something that could be very devastating to Argentina wine industry, simply because it's going to affect quality and, you know, ultimately prices and everything else. I don't know if you've heard Joseph Phelps. He's one of the first as a venture in Napa Valley. He began in the 1970s. He originally started as a contractor in Colorado, Joseph Phelps, in Phelps Winery. I don't want to see that. Continue to the article. He 87 years old. He began in 1970 converting a cattle ranch into what became Joseph Phelps Vineyards. and a Pioneer, rich Cabernet Sauvignons with a little bit of Merlot, Cabernet Franc, and a big oak in it and all that, and Bordeaux-inspired blends and stuff. He was, I actually got a chance to meet Joseph Phelps many years ago when I was out in California when we were both younger men, and an interesting man with, oh, wow, I was just handed a note from my engineer here, which I have to share this right away. Tampa Bay Lightning, for those of you who are not from this area and who are not hockey fans, Tampa Bay Lightning is a our local hockey team who is doing extremely well. In fact, they could sweep Montreal tonight with a win in the second round of the playoffs. But my announcer, or my engineer, just handed me a note, and she just found out that last night at the Lightning game on TV, they announced Woofstock.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
I know. Oh, I know. I'm impressed even with that myself. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were announced during the hockey game last night. I mean, that's
pretty
that's
cool.
Impressive. Yeah, that is.
That's big time now.
That is. I know. You know. Well, Michael, fill you in on Woofstock a little bit here. But I just was handed that note. Breaking news. And I just handed that to me, and I had to tell you about that. So, wow. But back to Joseph Phelps. Joseph Phelps was a pioneer. I, like I said, was able to meet the man a number of years ago back when we were both younger men. Actually, it was in the mid-70s. And nice guy. You know, but most winery people are anyway. I say with a pat on my back along with everyone else out there. But it's very innovative. He is... been, you know, breaking edge of many stuff. He had phenomenal wines. I mean, even when I met him and all that, some phenomenal wines. And he's done just a fascinating job on it. The winery now has over 100 acres planted to Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and plus a bunch of other acreage and different grapes and stuff. Joseph Phelps passed away. He 40 years he was like a the pioneer in Napa Valley for the big reds and the bold wines. He passed away a couple of weeks ago. He was 87 years old. I feel a loss because knowing him for a number of years, he was just a nice guy, and you know that's. Probably the best compliment I can give to somebody is just that they were just really a nice guy, someone who you enjoyed talking to, someone you enjoyed spending time around. And it was just something that he was intelligent, but he didn't flaunt his knowledge or anything. Born in Missouri. I'm a Missouri boy, too. He's born in Missouri in 1927. And but he was a groundbreaker in Napa Valley wines. Joseph Phelps, 87 years old, he passed away a few weeks ago. So 3 weeks ago, I think it was. He'll be missed. The TTB has established 3 new AVAs. AVAs, you know, I ask people all the time. People come into the winery and I said, you all know what an AVA is. 99.9% of the time, people say no. I think it's something we should start promoting more. I think it's something that in the wine industry, we should start letting people know about AVAs. We should start letting them know what it consists of, what it means, not just slap it on the bottle and say, hey, I'm an AVA. Because unless people know why it's there, what it means, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, you know, it's just something else on the bottle that they read. And most people drinking wines don't. But the TTB has proposed 3 new viticultural areas, and they are now accepting comments through June 15th. on these three areas by notices of proposed rulemaking, which was established by Federal Register on April 14th. So these are the three separate petitions, and if you want to comment on any of them, you can get a hold of the TTB. They will take comments whether you want to stop it or you think these areas are ridiculous. So whatever your thoughts are on it, they are open for comments. The Lewis-Clark Valley Viticultural Area is one of them. This is established approximately 306,650 acres. Lewis-Clark Valley American Viticulture Area is portions of Nez Perce, Lewis, Clearwater, and Lata counties in Idaho, and Asserton, Garfield, and Whitman counties in Washington. Also proposed to modify the boundary of the existing Columbia Valley viticulture area to eliminate a potential overlap, which, I don't know, I would think I would rather have it, my designation Columbia Valley as opposed to Lewis-Clark AVA, but because it would be noticed more. Where was the overlap with the proposed new area? The proposed boundary modification would decrease the size of the approximately 11,370,320 acre Columbia Valley viticulture area by approximately 57,020 acres. So making Columbia Valley smaller, but the new Lewis-Clark Valley. The next one here, excuse me again. The next one here, Eagle Foothills Viticulture Area. excuse me. I had to get a drink, had to catch. Eagle Foothills Viticulture Area proposed to establish approximately 49,815 acre Eagle Foothills American Viticulture Area in Jim and Ada counties in Idaho. The proposed area is located entirely within the existing Snake River Valley viticulture area. And then the third one that is being proposed is the Lamorinda viticulture area, L-A-M-O-R-I-N-D-A, Lamorinda, I believe it's pronounced. This is approximately 29,369 acres. Lamorinda American viticulture area is in Contra Costa County. I lived in Contra Costa County. The proposed viticulture area is located entirely within the existing San Francisco Bay viticulture area and the multi-county Central Coast viticulture area. So Central Coast Bay, San Francisco Bay, and then Lamorinda and Contra Costa County. Contra Costa County is Livermore, also Livermore Valley areas and stuff like that. So it's probably right around there. Three new ones, three more viticulture areas. Again, I think we really should start doing something. Whenever I talk to winemakers or any wineries, I always say, are you a viticulture area? Well, no, but we're trying to and stuff like that. Or, yeah, we're in this. I think it's a thing that we really should pursue. I think we should educate people a lot more on viticulture areas and start promoting them more. But three new ones. Again, if you have any comments, go to ttb.gov. They are taking comments to June the 15th. Whether it's a nay or a yay on the new proposed viticultural areas. Okay. So check that out and see if there's anything or if you have any comments or anything on that. And I'm sure they would love to hear from you. Let's see again. Climate change. Here we go again. You can't help but talk about climate change and wine. It's just something that's, maybe I should dedicate another whole show to climate change because it's something that is affecting wines continuously. This particular article is talking about how climate change is bringing a new approach to winemaking. It's warmer temps lead to bigger wines, better reds with more attention to terroir. The new the International Wine and Spirits Trade Show, the VinExpo, is ramping up for 2015 in Bordeaux. It's June the 14th to the 18th. So if you want to take a trip over there, it's a big show. I've many years ago they had one in San Francisco. I was able to go to it, and I was just walk around with my mouth gapping all the time at all the stuff and wines and everything that they had. But the what this show is starting to concentrate on, the 40-year wine industry veterans note that the warming trend will undeniably over the long term require growers to embrace new approaches, as is California doing now. Short-term effects on global industry have been, for the most part, subtle. In certain cases, they boom, but winemaking regions grow warmer. The first consequence, particularly for reds, is improved maturation of grapes, leading to better vintages more often than in the past. And this is important, particularly to France. Their vintage is so important to them. The quality of the maturation, the ripening of the grapes improves with warmer climate. Therefore, they've had good vintages in the past 10 years, whereas they used to see gaps in them. They had more good vintages in the last 10 years than they've seen in the last 20 to 50 years. So it's the warming climate is affecting it, but it's going to also affect other things. Climate change might lead more wine producers to embrace a terroir approach to the craft. Over 2,000 years, they've been producing wines in France. They've learned specific grapes go best in specific regions. But with the climate change, that is going to affect it. New Zealand's emergency wine regions have used the terroir to its benefit also and is producing quality wines. California Sustainable Wine Growing Program is looking at workshops and certification programs to better understand how the warming of the area is going to affect the grapes and the winemaking and the wines themselves. So it's an event. Vine Expo is coming up, like I said, in Bordeaux this year. It bounces around. Let's see. Founded in 1981, Vine Expo has evolved to the world's leading show for wine and spirit professionals and a partner for the wine and spirits industry worldwide. It's held in Bordeaux an odd number of years since 2006. It has taken place in Hong Kong and has become a key exhibition in the industry in Asia. An even number of years in Kong. Must not have been Vine Expo I saw then out in California. Had to be some other event. Before each exhibition, Vine Expo commissions studies on industry-specific issues and from around the world and presents them. It has produced important studies for the last, since 1999, and a variety of trend reports and stuff like that. So Vine Expo, I thought I was at Vine Expo. It must have been something else along that line. But climate change is going to give us a different look at red wines. Flooding is affecting Chile. We always hear about the climates and all that. Flooding is affecting Chile. They've had it's affecting the wine grapes. The mountains, Capiopo Valley could be down 30% in the coming years because of the flood. 988 acres of fruit was lost in the late March floods. About 48% of acreage in the valley was affected by the floods. One worker died in flooding, another is missing. About 3,700 acres of production will only be salvageable if irrigation systems are fixed and channels cleaned soon. The area is noted for its production of early season grapes, which gives Chile a competitive advantage in international markets. So, flooding has hit it. And this is from a mid-April report. So Chile is, that particular area is going to be affected by the flooding. Let's see. The let's see. No, that's not the problem. The same. No. Maybe this is the one. But this is the one. No, that's the one. Oh well. Arizona is talking about Arizona industry. We're going to back around once we get through all the states. We're going to back around and start at the A's again, because there's a lot of Arizona wineries, a lot of the beginning wineries we didn't have an opportunity to get on the show because we just started to pull in guests when we got, I don't know, to the D's or something like that. So we've got a lot of guests at the beginning that we want to get. But the Arizona new winery, Javelina Leap Winery, 10-acre property includes a vineyard, tasting room, and production facility. They have grown from just a few acres over the last 15 years to 70-plus acres now, and located in northern Arizona region, about an hour from Prescott, it says. The Arizona wine industry is phenomenal. It's just always amazes me how big. I think I mentioned the story when I was out in Arizona 5 years ago now. Wow. 5 years ago, I was out in Arizona and took a trip down to southern Arizona after the checkpoint, the immigration checkpoint. You go south and you pass to the checkpoint, and then all of a sudden, there in the rolling hills of southern Arizona, among cactus and scrub, you see this great big green sign that says "Welcome to Wine Country," and you go, "What?" But it is just absolutely phenomenal what's happening in Arizona and Arizona wines, and because of the altitude of some of the areas there, which you don't notice as you're driving through them, is just absolutely amazing. So they are exploding in Arizona. It's something we're going to have to look forward to talking to them again and talking about what's happening in Arizona wines and the wine industry and all that. One last thing I want to leave you with here before I let Mike talk about our big event, which was picked up by the hockey game last night. Oh, wow, oh, wow. Is a glass of wine, a red wine, no, we're talking red, we're not talking sweeter wines or, you know, rosés, but is a glass of red wine equal to an hour at the gym? That laugh in the background again was my engineer. Perhaps you saw stories making around on social media lately claiming that a red glass of red wine is equal to an hour working out at the gym. It pains me to be the one to have to break this to you, but don't toss out your workout togs yet. Turns out the study that was conducted back in 2012 by researchers at the University of Alberta did find that resveratrol, an antioxidant found in red wine, grapes, and other foods, improved physical performance, heart function, and muscle strength in experiments conducted on rats. Not only did resveratrol improve the performance of exercise trained rats, this is a kernel of truth in a 100-acre cornfield of wishful thinking. Researchers also found that even sedentary rats who got the resveratrol supplements had a 25% increase in exercise performance. However, there's nothing in the study advocating skipping the gym, and the rats weren't swilling Syrah or any vino. They were being fed powdered resveratrol in massive amounts. To get the same amount from red wine, a human would have to drink anywhere from 100 to 1,000 bottles, not glasses, people, bottles a day. So, no. You can have a glass of red wine and skip an hour at the gym. You're still going to have to go and exercise and all that. A glass of red wine is going to contain about 150 calories, 160 calories. So hey, sorry to be the one to break the news to you, but you could drink 100 to 1,000 bottles of red wine a day, and you probably wouldn't have to go to the gym. So there you go. So resveratrol is good for you, but ignore all these great big things about how the rats were being so much better with resveratrol. We can't drink that much. So, Mike, tell us about Woofstock.
I know nothing about it. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you all.
All right.
Yeah. Because I know that wasn't the... No, I have... if you subscribe to the newsletter at Florida States Winery's website at floridastateswines.com, you get a newsletter every 2 weeks or so. And I think this was done... less than the 2 weeks, I guess. Well, I don't know, because you have an event coming up. So anyway, but there was information on there on a special event, and it is called Woofstock, and it is this weekend, this Saturday, May the 9th. So plan to be there. It's going to be a great event from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. That is this Saturday. It's the Pasco Animal Services holding the first annual Woofstock. It's a fundraising event. And it's going to be at Florida States Winery in Land Lakes, Florida. There's going to be live bands. There's going to be kids' crafts. That's right. Those of you who are thinking, well, is it really family friendly? Yes, it is. Even pony rides. Pony rides. What am I doing Saturday? Because I don't think I'm working. I don't know if I.
Right.
I was checking my schedule. There's going to be vendors, food, and of course wine tastings. There's going to be pets available for adoption and more. And check this out: the funds raised during this event will care for sick or injured animals that come into the shelter. Tickets are $5, and kids under 10 are free. Under 10 are free. Wow. So keep that in mind. Tickets are available at www.fpcas.org. FP as in Paul, C as in cat, A as in animal, S as in shepherd. org. And at the winery, at Florida States Winery, and also Florida States Winery will donate a month's tip jar and the tip jar for the day of the event. $1 for every bottle of wine sold at the event, and 50 cents for each glass of wine sold. Wow, that's going to be great. Let's see. The always pet-friendly wine tastings and a souvenir glass will be available for only $15, so that's also great, and with most of the proceeds going to the cause as well. So, God, there's so much stuff going on here. Let's see. So let's talk about some of who's going to be there. Let's see, you have musical entertainment. Let's see if I can get these right. These are the musical acts. And you told me last week, I think, I wrote six with a question mark. I know there's five listed, right? Five?
There may be a six. We still don't know yet. That's going to be a surprise.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe on the day of, but...
yes, really. Yeah.
So are we talking like Steven Tyler? Or are we talking about one of the
no.
I don't know. I forgot Steven Tyler, Aerosmith. Yeah, no, I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have musical entertainment by some great bands out there. Check this out: She's That Dude, Ashley Smith, Kaleidoscope. I'm trying to see this other one. Silter. Is that Silter? Or did I misspell that? And H.D. Hand. Yeah. I don't know if it's a silent Z or not. We'll have to, I don't know. But right now there's five bands scheduled. There's plenty of vendors and rescues on hand. And so check this out: For Tales Only, Faithful Friends, Cremation, Divas. Divas? Okay. Doggy Sweaters by Susan. Susie's Hot Dogs will be there. Pet City, Stacy's Creations, Rodan Fields, Junk Queens, Paparazzi, etc. Accessories, Origami Owl, Forever Yours. I like that. Forever Yours Pet Rescue.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, that's catchy. Lolo Ono Hawaiian Shave Ice, a bed, a buck, a buddy. Okay. Well, okay, this is cool. Deterra Essential Oil, Florida Boxer Rescue, Scentsy, Aloha to Go, K9 to 5. That's interesting. Pibbles to the Rescue, Gold Coast Greyhound, Florida Skunk, Ierna, I think, is it a, or that's just Ierna?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure how that's pronounced.
M&P Food Truck, Sugar Darlings, National Pet Vax, Latin American, oh, I don't know if that's part of the name or not, Happy Hounds Design, Raffle Rescue, Inc., Pet Food Program of Pasco County, Gray T Sign 13, and a whole lot more. Oh, my gosh. That's like, where are you going to put them all? Because you have parking. I know you have room out front.
We got the field next to the winery is going to be all
that's
set
true.
For parking, too. So that's going to be available.
That's amazing.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun event. And pets and all sorts of stuff will be available for adoption, too. So.
Yeah. And it's going to be a good price. I think you were telling me last week it was very inexpensive to...
$25 for dogs, $15 for cats.
Yeah, I think I had that. I think I typed that
down
somewhere.
Which is cheap. If you've ever
it is cheap. Yeah.
Adopt pets. Yep. Yeah, that's cheap.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a pet you have one and you want to shop for some cool stuff for your pet and their family members, definitely come on out. It's Wolfstock. And it is this Saturday, May the 9th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes. It's real easy to get to. It's a nice drive north of Tampa and plenty of parking, and it's going to be a great time. And you meet Celebrity Ron over here. So that's
yeah.
it. Maybe he'll give you an autograph. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. I was just thinking a dunk
Ron.
Booth. That would be fun. Well, Ron, where's the dunk booth?
yeah, really. Yeah.
I was giving you maybe the second annual.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah. But this is the first annual, and let's have everybody come out and make it a great start to something that they can do every year at this time. And or who knows, maybe wait until later months. I don't know, but we'll see how it is. The weather's going to be great because that low pressure that was off the coast of Florida on the east side has brought dry weather, warm weather. But you have a lot of shade out there. I mean, the oak trees and everything out there is incredible. It's really keeps you out of the sun. So and there's also inside. There's also a winery. So come on down. And it's for a great cause. And
they even mentioned it on the hockey game last night. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
That is.
And you were in Tampa Bay Times, TBT, I think it was?
Yeah, we were in Tampa Bay Times. We've been in the Tampa Tribune, all sorts of sites and all that. So we're getting some good press out there. But the Lightning, what?
Oh, yeah. Got all the people going, oh. Taking that. That's awesome. That is so cool. So thank you, Tampa Bay Lightning, for doing that. That's awesome. So come on out. It's family friendly, pet friendly, obviously. This is an event for everybody, and you don't want to miss it. The first annual Wolfstock, again, Saturday, May the 9th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, if you're listening to this on archives and it's like June 12th, you missed it.
but plan next year. Save the date
plan
for next year.
Yes. And keep up with the news and everything that's happening at the winery by subscribing to the newsletter. Go to FloridaEstatesWines.com, and you'll hear about all this stuff. It's also, I'm not sure if it went on the Facebook page or not, the information.
Yeah, it's been on the Facebook page quite a bit, actually.
So, there you go. There's information on there. It is approximately 8:04 Eastern time, and I guess we can close the show for now, unless there's anything else you want to add. No classes coming up.
Classes the 25th But come on out and adopt a pet. This is, you know,
yeah.
24th. I said 25th. 24th next class.
Yeah, but come on out in the background like, nope.
Yeah, 24th. The next class.
Yeah. So we'll give you more information next week and everything. And we'll hear all about what happened, but the best way to find out is to go there. And
that's
know
right.
As well. That's right. So don't forget. Be there.
We'll look forward to seeing all of you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Good cause, good day to come out, and it's going to be a lot of things happening. Bring the family, and that includes your little four-legged ones as well. So
that's right. Always pet friendly.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see you all next Thursday. That's May the 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for tuning in and enjoyed it.
Oh, one last thing.
Put the save thing. Okay, go ahead.
Sunday. Happy Mother's Day for all of you mothers and grandmothers and wannabe mothers and future mothers and past mothers and everything. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. I was just kind of sailing right past it.
Yeah, I know. I looked at my calendar here and I said, oh, we talked about the Star Wars Day. We talked about Cinco de Mayo. We better say something about Mother's Day. So.
That's right. Do I still have my Cinco de Mayo thing on here? No.
Only once a year. We don't.
if you have ever heard this, I think. Let me see if that actually works. If you've ever heard this, yeah.
Yeah.
Then Happy Mother's Day.
That's right.
We'll see you all next week, and thanks for tuning in, and y'all have a great week, and remember, keep drinking wine. It's very good for you. What was that last time when I put
it? Still have to put it gym, it's still very good for you.
One glass? Why would I go to the gym? One glass?
I
do that right
now. Yeah. I'm working out. Fulfilled it. That tastes like my hour right now.
How heavy are the glasses?
Yeah, really.
Working on my arm strength here. Okay.
Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one. And don't forget Saturday, be at the winery. You better, okay? Yep. May the 9th. All right, we'll see you. Thanks. Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.